Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and this week, joining me in the Monkey House for the first time in ages, it's second banana, Evan Munro-Smith.
I'm back!
It's so good to have you here. Evan, it's been a while since I've been able to ask you, can I get an update? What is your favourite primate?
I forgot this was part of the show.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been for a long time.
I'm quite partial to the human.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's still the human.
Yeah.
I don't think
I've seen anything
to top anything Andy
new
from Toy Story.
To sway me away.
Right.
Although I've been watching a bit of Hitmonkey recently, and is that a Japanese macaque? Is that what that is?
That is a Japanese macaque.
It's a pretty cool monkey.
Yeah, that's a great monkey.
But
in that show. I've also been watching. We should do an episode on it.
We should, yes. But I mean, the lead role is still the human.
Okay. Oh, you think of the Jason Sudeikis, Sudoku. Jason Sudoku. You think of him as the lead role?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't get the big name to play the monkey, did they?
Hmm. Well, you know, you start somewhere. But, we argue with that. I bet you can't.
Okay.
So what have you been up to, Evan? You've been busy. People have been saying to me, where's Evan? Bring back Evan. I'm like, it's not like I'm not inviting him onto the show. He's just got stuff to do. Game's also offline at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's just been hard to find time to make anything because we've been building this enormous studio. But we're finally getting to the point where the studio is mostly built and I can, you know, start to get back to making fun things. Not that the studio isn't fun, but it's really not very fun.
it's a building, you know. it's as fun as a building can be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fun place, but the process of building it is quite tedious and stressful. Getting back into doing stuff.
And, I mean, now that you've cleared your schedule a little bit, it must feel so good to be able to talk about one of your big passions. And that is primates.
Yes.
I know you favour the human,
mm-hmm.
but there's a beautiful array of different species.
Yeah.
Great apes, not so great apes, monkeys.
And, yeah.
You know, the little capuchins. You've got the mm-hmm. spider monkeys. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the lemurs. And
what are lemurs? What category are they?
Lemurs, I think they're cutie pies.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think I vaguely remember back in the day, Jess Perkins was on an episode and she said that they're in the cutie pie section,
mm-hmm.
meaning there's apes, monkeys and cutie pies. So okay. I think that might be canonical on this show.
Okay.
But anyway, I really was excited to get you in to talk about the news about the new Planet of the Apes films.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything about this. Are they rebooting the franchise? What are they doing?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, Evan. And I found an article which purports to tell us everything that they know so far.
Okay.
The website's looper.com.
Uh-huh.
Is that a reputable...
I've heard of it.
...industry website?
For pop culture, movie-related things.
Okay. Well, this article on there, it's hot off the presses. It was written by Matt Stork. And I thought maybe I could read it to you.
Sure.
I know you don't have enough time to read articles for yourself, so I thought I'd invite you onto the show to read at you.
Yeah, give me the crib notes, word for word.
Okay. Crib notes. I'm not going to be doing any cribbing here.
Okay.
The ratio is 1-to-1 in terms of words written to words read. But it has changed a few times because it was going to be a reboot at one point, but not any longer.
Can I recap the history, unless that's part of the article?
It is a little bit of part of the article. All right. And I also was having the thought that leading up to the new film, maybe we should watch and review some of the, if what we do is review, I'm not sure, but maybe we should cover the ones we've missed so far. We've watched the first one. We've watched the most recent three.
What's the first one being the original Planet of the Apes,
1968.
Yes. Great film.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Charlton Heston is mightiest.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn you. He probably said something like that.
Something like that. You damn you dirty apes.
Filthy freaking apes.
They blew it up.
Yeah.
I think I still am just thinking of The Simpsons.
Yeah, Dr. Zaius. We covered that as well at some point.
Yeah. Great episode. And then there were three.
Well, there were the original series, there were quite a few, and then they tried to reboot it in the early 2000s. Okay, let me pull them up.
I've got to pull up an IMDb or a Wikipedia.
You pull them up because they do that, right? Matt Stork, you got to trust him more. Let me read paragraph first. He writes, one of the most beloved sci-fi franchises of all time, Planet of the Apes, is getting a new entry. The original series of films began in 1968 and was followed up by Beneath the Planet of the Apes in 1970,
right.
Escape from the Planet of the Apes in 1971, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes a year later, and a year after that, Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Also, so I haven't seen any of the 370s ones.
No, neither have I.
Right, okay.
So I'd love to watch them. I'd love to cover them. Also in the 70s, the film spawned a one-season-long live-action television series and a single-season animated series. I don't even know if I knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Jeez, Matt Stork's off to a hot start here.
Just, feels like something we should know, or yes. You should know as the host of the show.
That's true. In 2001, Tim Burton directed a remake starring Mark Wahlberg, and 10 years later, the series was rebooted again with Rupert Wyatt's Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Have you seen the Tim Burton one?
Yeah, I think I saw it at the movies for a school excursion. But
that's a fun school excursion.
Yeah.
Is it because it was about apes?
I think it was to kill time.
Right, okay.
We were in Canberra for, go to visit Parliament House and stuff.
You went to Canberra on a school trip?
Yeah.
I've never been interstate on a school trip.
I think, I was for a politics class.
A politics class?
Yeah, I did politics. So I guess that's the place that you...
In school?
Yeah.
And they sent you interstate?
Am I misremembering this? Yeah, no, you might be right. I feel like we drove to Canberra. I can vaguely remember.
I'm not saying you didn't.
In a little mini bus.
I guess there was. I never did it, but there were. My school had like a trip to like Uluru, and I think there was.
And you don't think of that as interstate?
No, that's definitely interstate. But I mean, I didn't do that.
And a lot further away than Canberra.
On reflection, I think maybe there were opportunities that I just didn't take or wasn't offered for some reason.
Well, that was because you were busy just making your own trips to go see Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes. So I went to Canberra. That was in Canberra. I went to Canberra of my own accord. The school didn't send me to go see Weird Al. I had to do it myself. Take matters into my own hands.
Yeah, that's the difference between your generation and mine. Okay. You had a lot of get up and go back then. Me right. And the kids of today.
You had to be handheld.
Yeah, that's right. Handheld and van driven.
Anyway, so they sent you to Canberra to go watch Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't. I remember we talked to Natasha Stott Despoja, the Democrat senator.
Okay.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
So, yeah, so there was the Tim Burton, and that was critically panned. The bit I remember the most, and it's probably the most famous bit of it, they said they needed a big twist. and it ends with, instead of Statue of Liberty, they come back and it's Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't do the same ending, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise it wouldn't be a twist.
No. So instead it was just everything had gone. So they changed the course of time, but not enough to stop there being a figure called Lincoln.
Yeah.
Who did all the same things.
That is wild that they did that.
Yeah, I feel like that might have been studio pressure, but we should cover that film and we can get into it.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, the two Matt Reeves sequels came in 2014, 2017. And, yeah, from now, this is Matt Stork telling us what we now know. For the upcoming new film, do you know the name of it?
I just read on the Wikipedia page, is it Kingdom of the Planet of the
Apes? What do you think about? I used to think it was so ridiculous, the having the double of the.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a long title.
Because the opposite, you know, another way they could have gone with all of these would have been Planet of the Apes, Kingdom, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, or Kingdom of the Apes.
Yeah, Kingdom. Yeah,
that's War of the Apes.
War of the Apes. Yes,
that's Dawn of the Apes. Yeah, but it needs to be Planet of the. Like,
yeah,
it's
they must.
But also, that's what they did in the '70s, right? It was Conquest of the Planet, Battle for the Planet of the. Like,
yes, I feel like they've
already set that it was, standard.
Yeah, and they just wanted to follow on. It's tradition.
Back when they had more time for long titles in the '70s, I guess.
Yeah, they had nothing but time back then. Bloody hippies. Get a job.
So what? So, well, I'll let you continue on, I guess. What is Planet? Is this like a? Is it just a sequel to what? To the three, basically.
That's right. Yes. Set 500 years in the future, I believe.
So like the end of the last one. A distant sequel.
Yeah.
Not like a direct follow up.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, generations have gone past, and I guess it could end up anywhere. Because apparently, at one point, it was going to be a reboot, but I guess they've gone, we could kind of do both. Why don't we just reboot it? But say it's in the future the same. So maybe, you know, Caesar and those sort of apes, maybe they're in photos somewhere in the halls of Ape Congress.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
I'm trying to remember if I saw all of these, if I saw all of these ones.
The reboots?
Yeah.
Weren't you on this show talking about it?
Probably. I'm just trying to put a.
Maybe you weren't.
I'm pretty sure I did see, which is the one with.
With the Cheers bartender.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Is
He hasn't done much since Cheers, has he?
What's the one with Gordon, Commissioner Gordon? What's his name?
Gary. Oh, that was the second one. Yeah, that was so there's Dawn of the
Gary
Planet
Oldman,
of the Apes.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And then there's Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Or is it Rise of the Planet of the Apes and then Dawn? They name them funny. I reckon they
Rise,
sound like
Dawn,
they're in the wrong
War?
Order.
Yeah, I think.
Feels like it should be Dawn, Rise, War, but it's Rise, Dawn, War. Anyway.
This is also confusing.
I know, and I imagine it's real fun to listen to. let's go back to the article. Plot details for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes are being kept tightly under wraps at this time. According to Deadline, the film is said to take place many years after War for the Planet of the Apes. In a 2020 interview with Discussing Film, writer-director of the new film, Wes Ball. Do you know Wes's work? I think he maybe did the Maze Runner films.
Oh, right. I've not seen those.
I have not either. Maybe I should. he talked about how the project came to be and where it fits in with the other movies in this series. He was working on a now-defunct project called The Mouse Guard for producer and previous Apes helmer Matt Reeves at 20th Century Fox before the merger with Disney took place. After the merger, the project stalled and Ball shifted focus over to Planet of the Apes. He said, "Those last three movies are one of the great trilogies we have in modern movie history."
Yeah, right.
"They are just so well done. They honored the original movies they sprang from, the Charlton Heston movies, but they grounded it in a modern sensibility and it just worked." I'm with him. I mean, this whole show is only because I love that trilogy so much. That's what sparked this whole thing.
I think I remember being kind of lukewarm on them, but I agree. I think that, you know, they're a great trilogy. It's a great series, a great franchise.
You can't say lukewarm and thinking it's great back to back.
Well, you know, the films themselves, you know, within a franchise, films can be up and down. But yeah, I'm, you know, it's cool that they exist.
Your favorite trilogy, of course, is the Toy Story trilogy.
Yes, all four of them.
Yeah.
I did see War for the Planet of the Apes. Like, I don't know, I enjoy it. They're good action films, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's he's right in saying that they, I think they do honor the original series, but while also bringing them into the future.
Wow. That is a beautiful thing.
Because not all trilogy, like, you know, you couldn't just take any trilogy and make it work in, like, with like today's, a lot of the issues are kind of the same.
Some of them, like, it was a legendary series and also kind of ridiculous in of its time in some ways.
Yeah,
as well,
it's the kind of thing that, like, I'm sure when it was announced that they're doing a reboot that it would have just been like, so it could easily have been a flop, you know?
Yes. Well, I mean, the first time they tried to do it with Tim Burton, it was a flop.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think it was a flop that made a lot of money, though.
Okay, well, that's not a flop then, is it? But it critically
but it didn't
pan.
Yeah, it didn't spawn a whole thing. I was trying to work out what, but it probably doesn't matter. I was trying to work out what happened at the end of War, like the previous film.
Yeah.
To then think what happens next. But if it's 500 years in the future, maybe it doesn't really matter what.
Well,
what
this article doesn't say 500 years. I don't know where I got 500 years. Might have been from Mr. Sunday Movies on the Weekly Planet.
What does he know?
Nah. I'm going off Matt Stork's word over James Mr. Sunday Movies' words. Back to the article. He continued talking about where his continuation of the series fits in. I wasn't interested in doing a part four either. We want to do our own thing. We have a take. We have a way of staying in the universe that was created before us, but we're also opening ourselves up to being able to do some really cool new stuff. It appears the film will not be a true sequel, but it seems it will take place in the same world as the previous three films.
What's it?
The world is being. I think the world they're working with is the world.
Yes.
I wonder what the cool new stuff is. I mean, if it's that far into the future, they could be like it's basically like lightsabers and
because the other ones are contemporaneous, like set. Today?
Yeah. More or less, yeah.
Okay.
Because John Lithgow was in the first one. That was like present day sort of stuff.
And he'll be dead in 500 years.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck getting Lithgow back.
You might be asking,
Evan, who is starring in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Ooh, do we know?
Well, Owen Teague apparently was set to star in the film when it was first announced. He's been cast as the lead ape in this new reboot. I mean, they're saying reboot now, but it's not a reboot. They've already said it's like a sequel.
Yeah, but I guess it's
it's somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
They're rebooting it in the future, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Owen Teague. He looks familiar. I'm trying to know him from.
He coached Carlton for a couple of seasons.
Okay. That must be it.
Is that not him?
Owen
Teague.
Yeah, I don't know where I. Oh, he was in Black Mirror. Might be.
Has he done other things as chimps?
No. Well, I mean, I guess it's just a voice role.
No.
Or a motion capture.
Yeah.
Role, right?
Oh, Evan. Jeez, you've been out of our world for a little too long.
But he's not. It's not like Woody
Andy
Harrelson
Serkis,
who was playing.
Does that mean anything to you? Do you think he's just doing a voice?
No, I guess
the man's got balls
around
all over him.
But I wonder if it's like Andy Serkis has done roles where he's doing the performance but not doing the voice. Maybe you can do have someone doing motion capture than someone else doing the voice.
That's true, I assume.
I can't think of an example right now, but
because he did both the little guy in Lord of the Rings and his voice.
Yes,
and I think he did Caesar and Caesar's voice. King Kong and Kong's voice, probably. I'm Kong.
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Kong. Kong on. King Kong and the kegger party.
Benedict Cumberbatch did the dragon in The Hobbit, right? And that was also his face.
He used his face on the dragon.
Well,
he's got a dragonish face.
It was a dot thing, and I guess they extrapolate from that data.
Elongate a little bit.
Yeah. Give him a longer nose.
Yeah, they probably would have to paint him green or something. But he's not far off a dragon.
Yeah, okay.
Very handsome dragon, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so we've got Owen Teague. But, yeah, I'm looking at his credits. I haven't seen many of these. Oh, he's in It. I haven't seen that, but that was meant to be pretty good.
I don't think I've seen anything he's in except possibly the Black Mirror. Just looking at his
He was in an episode of Bones.
Yeah, I didn't really see Bones. I mean, David Boreanaz is great. NCIS LA, College Humor Originals. Okay.
So he was one of the bullies in It.
So, yeah, okay. So, I mean, but he's not like a, this isn't like a Hollywood A-lister.
No.
He's no Woody Harrelson. Who else is in the film? Is there any other cast announced?
The breakout star Freya Allen from The Witcher has been added to the cast.
Oh, okay.
As the lead human character in the film.
Interesting.
Which probably interests you. I saw your ears prick up then. Oh, a human character. Now I'm listening. Wait, that means humans still exist, which I guess they did in the future.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They were like, because the humans became more like the animals. In the original one, remember? They were sort of in captivity and the intelligent, advanced species was the apes.
Yeah.
The non-human apes.
Yeah. Did that happen in any of the reboot ones, though?
Yes, it did. It started happening. That's right, because there was a virus that went around that made...
Yeah.
I can't remember. It meant that they couldn't talk. Humans couldn't talk anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
I say they. I don't associate myself with the humans. finally, Peter McCon. From the cast of Seth MacFarlane's The Orville, has been announced as a co-star. You're an Orville man.
I'm an Orville man. I mean, I watch it. That's
enough for me.
Okay. I think season two was not very good. I think season one had its moments, but then season two let it down. But then season three, I think, actually was quite good.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, but they had a lot of time to work on it. It was one of these shows that was like, I think season one must have been like 2018, season two around 2019, and then season three was going to be like 2020 or something like that. And then they had COVID and all this sort of thing, and it all got mucked around schedule-wise. And I think they wound up having a bit more time on it. I'm not sure if that's why, but when it came back for season three, it was like, it was almost like a whole thing. You know, it
wasn't set 500 just like, years in the future. Yeah,
something like that. But I think it was just better in season three.
What do you think of Peter McCon?
He's all right.
Okay, high praise.
He plays Bordas. He's not like the best character. He's fine, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But I think he's None of these are like...
Yeah, they haven't gone with any big
heavy
names.
Heavy hitters.
Because, yeah, in the three... The last three films, there was John Lithgow in the first one. There was Commissioner Gordon in the second one.
Yes, Gary Oldman.
And in the third one, there was Woody from Cheers.
Yeah.
Not Toy Story like you would have wanted.
Okay. The other Woody.
The other Woody. So, you get really excited that you hear Woody's in this film. Oh, Woody's in the new Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Oh, the other Woody.
Well, no, he's actually it's the human Woody that's in this one.
Yeah.
Not the toy.
Right. But the toy is of a human. So where do you stand on that? A toy human who is actually, you know, is sentient.
You're right. But still just a facsimile of a human, right? Or a caricature. Mm.
Have you seen, because being such a big Toy Story fan, have you seen Buzz? Or whatever it's called.
No, I haven't. I want to see it, and I should.
I watched it.
I wonder if Andy's in it. I feel like Andy's not in it.
Andy's not in it because the idea at the very start, it says something like...
It's got like a disclaimer to make people not get angry.
Yeah, it says it's the movie that the toy was based on.
Yeah. This is like the real Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
It's like a movie within the Toy Story universe.
Yes. It supposedly was a movie. I guess that means it's a movie from 1993 or something.
Yeah, right. The effects are pretty good for 93.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. I thought, surely you have the Tool Man voicing him.
Well, I think that's why they have the disclaimer. They don't have Tim Allen. So everyone's like, why is it not Tim Allen in it? It's not the toy. He does the toy. Yeah. This guy does the character.
So that I think that means that in this world, Tim Allen's voice is just a toy voice actor, right? Because all the toys have that voice.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't able to get Chris Evans or whoever,
right?
Whichever Chris.
So they get Tom Hanks' brother to do the voice of the toy or whatever. Was that a thing? Fair enough. You can't get Tim Allen for no. What? Who is Buzz?
Buzz is Tim Allen.
The other one, the new one.
It's one of the Chris's, I think.
Hemsworth? No.
Not Hemsworth. Chris
Pratt? No.
Pratt, yeah.
Is it Chris Pratt?
I reckon maybe it's Chris Evans. I might have been wrong the first time.
That's Captain America.
Yeah. Okay. But in this, he plays Buzz Lightyear.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. But unfortunately, there's no monkeys in that film. There was a cat.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. I thought it was all right.
You got to watch everything to check, I guess.
Yeah. I know. It's tiring.
Where did we get up to?
I did think it was pretty good, though.
I should watch it.
You know, it's like any of those movies. I think they're normally pretty good. I could watch any Pixar movie and finish feeling like it was fine.
Yep.
I mean, I'm no longer a child, so they're not really for me, but they're nearly always nice.
I mean, we watched Toy Story 4, and that I came out of that going like, that was great.
I remember really liking that. But that's part of that's going to the cinema. Watching on my tiny laptop screen, hungover. It's the perfect time for a Pixar film. You're like, thanks for making me forget for a couple of hours. Forget what I've become.
Yeah.
Now, the next headline here, sub-headline, is what's the release date of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes? Apparently it's due in theatres in 2024. That gives us a little bit of time to watch these old 70s movies.
We still won't manage. We've had enough time.
That's right. No further release dates have been provided. The film will begin shooting in the month of October 2022. That is this month right now. It's happening.
Wow.
Somewhere in the world, it's possible that the Teague train is pulling out of the station playing some new chimp character.
He's got the balls on.
Yeah. I hope great, 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 great grandson of Maurice is in there somewhere. What? Remember Maurice, the orangutan, the teacher?
Yeah.
The gentle and wise one.
Yeah, yeah.
Caesar's confidant.
Mm.
And then there'll be room, you know, that'll mean that obviously Maurice bones sometime between the end of the last trilogy and this new one. And then, you know, they could do like a little standalone film, like a rom-com. Maurice meeting someone. And
I think if
that's not in the works, then get it in the works.
Uh-huh. Passion of the Planet of the Apes.
Passion of the Planet of the Apes. Fantastic.
So that's a whole bloody year.
Yeah.
Like,
A lot of it must be in the, you know, just making those apes look realistic.
Yeah.
Non-human ones. The human ones are pretty easy to do. They come fully formed.
Right.
But I imagine a lot of the time in post-production is like, you know, you got to digitally erase all the balls.
Yep.
And then you've got to draw on all the ape.
Yeah. It's quite a tedious process, yeah.
I don't know why they don't just wear a costume.
Save
a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they did it in the 70s.
Exactly. And they looked realistic.
That holds up.
It's funny because we talked about it back in the day, but they were seen as groundbreaking and very realistic, those costumes.
Yeah.
But it's funny to think now. They look like you could have bought them at a, you know, a $2 shop or something.
I was watching, slightly off topic, I was watching a YouTube video recently. You know, video essays. I'm always watching for video essays.
You love
all
a video
the time.
Essay.
I love them.
Oh, what episode ruined The Simpsons?
That sort of thing. Yeah. But this one was about basically practical effects, which is I've always kind of it's been a really interesting thing, and it's something I've kind of been aware of for a while is how much better it is to do stuff with practical effects rather than CG, even though CG can be cool and you can do some cool stuff. It's just so much
You've
cooler
dropped the
when
eye
it's practical.
There, or the You've dropped the eye.
CGI, yeah. Well,
is that what cool people do?
The eye is optional.
Okay.
It's implied.
Yeah.
What
is the eye for?
Imagery? So computer generated imagery? Yeah. But if, like, I'm talking about a film, so like.
Yeah, what else would it be?
What else would it be? But yeah, we're talking about like how, yeah, just how cool it is. So look, talking about particularly, it was about True Lies. If you recall, James Cameron film, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I reckon I've seen that film maybe nearly more than any other film.
Yeah, right.
It used to be on every second Friday on Channel 10.
And just like watching it, looking back on it, I haven't watched it recently, but I should.
Move for me. No. More slowly. Centrally.
Yeah, right.
Is that from it?
I think it is.
That's wild. Tom, Roseanne's ex-husband, Tom someone was in it. He was sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger's partner. Tom Arnold?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
And, Arnold Schwarzenegger's married to Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's it, yes.
She doesn't realize he's like a secret agent.
What if there's any monkeys in it?
Oh, my God, like there's got to be.
Maybe.
Surely.
It was the 90s.
But I don't remember. Oh, there's a helicopter thing.
Yeah. So this was talking about like looking back on it and going like, actually, so much of this holds up because they actually had a Harrier jet. They actually had a bridge that was broken and they were able to like do that. Like so much of it was done in camera. You know, like there's a shot where a limo drives off the edge of a destroyed bridge. I was like, they just did that.
Right.
And
so that's similar to Jurassic Park, they reckon, because a lot of that is.
Yeah.
Which
I have watched more
dinosaurs
recently.
You're looking at, a lot of them were actually there.
Great film.
Jim Henson was involved, probably.
Yeah.
I think he was like inside that Tyrannosaurus Rex carcass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wiggling a bit.
But like those, like I watched Jurassic Park more recently, and that it does, like, it's clearly like it is a, you know, you can tell it's kind of like a puppety thing, but it looks so much better than if they had gone with CGI. It would have looked
90s CGI.
It would have looked laughable now, yeah. You know. Whereas at least now it's like it looks right. It's just the way it moves is a little bit kind of janky. But who knows? Maybe that's how a Tyrannosaurus Rex really did move, and you know, we're just
yeah. Well, they didn't have the feathers that supposedly they have now, right?
Yeah.
I think people might point to the things that Star Wars man, the guy with the small
George
beard,
Lucas.
George Lucas, yeah, did to the originals, like taking out some practical effects and putting in what were, you know, cutting edge CGI or CG imagery.
Yep.
But they've already dated. They look worse now than what it replaced, probably.
It's the problem with being, like, bleeding edge with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because George Lucas was very, like, I think it was one of the first, the Phantom Menace, maybe it was one of the first films, like, shot HD digital and, you know, groundbreaking at the time. But now you're like, maybe they just should have shot it on film. You know, like,
right.
It probably would have looked better.
If anything, when you're fashion forward, that's the stuff that dates.
Yeah.
Anything in fashion will be out of fashion. But if you sort of go with classic stuff, it won't date as bad.
Yeah.
That's why the Poirot series by David Suchet, like it never, because it was filmed in from the 80s for 20 odd years, but it was always set in the 40s or whatever it was. So it always, like, whereas other detective shows from that time that were set in modern times, you know, they had their big clunky phones and their silly, you know, hairdos and whatever. Whereas, like, it got through that awkward bit. It's like 30 years of everything looks silly for 30 years.
Yeah, okay.
That's why everyone hates new architecture.
Mm.
They're like, oh, what are they doing? And then 30 years later, it's like, oh, the Eiffel Tower is great.
Yeah.
I used to think it looked stupid.
I watch a lot of architecture videos too.
Yeah?
On YouTube, yeah.
Is that what you call that guy, Harold McAllister or whatever?
What?
The guy says, hey, look at these grand designs I've made. Oh, There's a show where a guy goes around.
Oh, you're talking about Grand Designs?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, with Kevin MacLeod.
Yeah.
Right.
Kevin MacAllister, that's right.
Yeah. No, that's I also watched that. But now I find it a bit triggering because of this whole where the studio build, you know.
Okay, yeah. You've lived it.
Like, ugh.
You're over budget.
Yeah.
And over schedule.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just going like, oh, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. We're going to have to borrow more money.
And you
know,
Kevin MacAllister's like, yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Kevin MacLeod is always, he's so smug, but kind of rightly so. He's usually right.
But is there a prime directive or something that he can't interfere?
Yeah, I don't know. He tends to voice his opinions. He'll butt heads with them sometimes. He'll be like, wouldn't it be great if the window faced the view? And they're like,
Really? That feels like a basic one.
It does. It did. At that particular episode did feel like a real basic. Like, why did you got this whole view and you blocked it off with like a guest bedroom that doesn't have a window in it? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You've paid so much for this site.
That's strange.
Yeah. Anyway.
They're like, no, we'll go outside if we want to see.
But they kind of like, it was too late. Like they kind of like, oh, it was no. Just not like too late, but too late for them to, like they hadn't built it yet.
Yeah.
But they'd kind of committed and she just sort of, she was just being stubborn, I think.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know. Or she couldn't, you know, it was too late for her to sort of turn back and admit that she was wrong.
And there's also probably a producer and an editor who are like
a producer
guiding.
who's well, the like, no, don't change.
Yeah, like I don't really, I never trust those sort of shows that much. There's a producer going, hey, he's going to suggest this, just be a bit stubborn about it or whatever.
Maybe. I feel like Grand Designs feels like one of the lesser produced reality shows.
Oh, that's maybe why some people like it. I've seen a few bits and pieces.
It doesn't feel like they like manufacture drama or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
I think there is just enough drama. Yeah, when you're trying to build a really ambitious. I mean, they would know how to pick them. Like they've been doing it for what is it like 18 years, 18 seasons.
Really?
Or yeah. Shit. So they would know. Like they'd be able to look at it and go, "That's an interesting project. That's really ambitious for the budget they're doing. If they do it, then fucking great. If they stuff it up, then great TV, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-win if they pick the right projects. Because they're all grand designs.
Yeah, okay. So that is an important part of the show. They are all grand.
Yes.
And so it's going to take you a little bit of a time to, a bit of a break before you go back to see Kevin.
I watch it every now and then, but it hits close to home sometimes.
Should we go back to this article from
Yes, there's no apes.
Matt Stork.
Grand Designs.
Yeah, if you ever see any, it'd be fun to do an episode if someone even,
I'm trying to think now. Has anyone had like one, a pet somebody, ape or something?
There'll be one where someone has like an ape sculpture in the what do you call it? The foyer?
Yeah, foyer.
Foyer.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about The Planet of the Apes, the new film coming
Kingdom
out.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Yeah, so the recent trilogy was very profitable for the former 20th Century Fox, earning over $1.7 billion, that's with the B, at the box office worldwide. Based on release date information from Box Office Mojo, the four films in the franchise since 2001 have been released in either July or August in the given year of their release. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out earliest in the summer with a July 9 release date. I don't need to talk about this. They're trying to guess the date based on
Right, okay. Just on probability.
Yeah. So they've all come out in a similar time of year, middle of the year.
It's quite a long I guess this is why it's like a semi reboot, is because it's so the last one was 5 years ago, 2017,
yeah.
Planet of the Apes. So it has been a bit of a gap.
And that's a new creative team behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
A new studio, basically a new studio has formed since then.
Hang on, what happened with, is this what you were talking about earlier? Oh, with Disney
Disney bought 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, that makes
sense. So that might have delayed if they did have plans for a fourth one. I don't know. Why would I speculate?
No, you're on a podcast. That's why.
Well, here's a question that the next subheading asks. Who is writing and directing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes? The Maze Runner film trilogy director Wes Ball, I mean, they already told us this, will helm Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. In a report from Deadline, longtime series fan Ball was brought in to work on the film back in 2019 and has been working on a script and visual effects ever since. In early summer 2022, Ball...
He's been working on visual effects since 2019.
Doing a bit of pre-prod, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You know, getting the balls shiny and ready.
I reckon they'll be doing a bit of the LED volume stuff, like Mandalorian-style stuff. I reckon they're just getting the tech ready.
What is it? Is that where he was just inside a room of...
Yeah, just surrounded by LED walls, yeah, and then it all just, like, moves with the camera and everything. Right.
Isn't one of the issues people have with that is that it always looks like it's a bit smaller scale? Even if you can have a lot of depth on the screens,
you can
tell that... The floor space is still always limited.
Yeah, it can be like that. So you have to sort of match that with digital set extension and that sort of thing. But again, always better if you can do it practically.
Right.
But it's almost like the next best thing because it's particularly with something like Mandalorian or like space stuff where you've got like spaceships and reflections. If you can have a physical spaceship, then you get all the actual reflections of the environment rather than having to fake it all.
Right, little things that your brain might not notice front of mind, but in the back of your mind is like, that doesn't quite look right.
Yeah. So it's, and also like you're as an actor, I guess, you feel like it's not like being on a green screen where you're just like, and interacting with like a dot on a stick. It's a bit more.
That's a fun new character they could introduce.
The dot on a stick.
Dot on a stick. I could play that.
Yeah?
Yeah. You wouldn't need anywhere near that many balls on me.
I can't help but notice that Andy Serkis has not come up. Is he just... It's hard to imagine a Planet of the Apes thing without him now. Like, he's just like... It's just seemed like he was the... I guess he was the main character.
Yeah, that is interesting, but...
He's just the leading animal actor.
But maybe it seems like it would be a pretty physical job. Maybe he's taking a step back from those full-on kind of gigs. I don't know. He also got into a bit of directing, right? He directed Mowgli.
Oh, yeah, he did too.
So he just might be, I don't know, he might be working on other things. Remember we used to do a section called Andy Serkis Watch or something like that?
Yeah.
We were trying to get people to help us get him on the show. We got so close.
He played Alfred in The Batman? I haven't seen The Batman.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't seem old enough to be an Alfred.
Well, it's like a younger Batman because Robin Pattinson played Batman.
Right.
So it's a youngish Batman, youngish Alfred. I've been watching Pennyworth, the origin of Batman's butler.
I've seen that advertised, but I've not. Is it any good?
I watched the first season so far and I'm loving it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Third
season's coming out soon, so I'm just going to... Still no monkeys in it, unfortunately. It just feels like, what am I wasting my time watching this monkey-free schlop?
But you just have to.
I have to. I'm in now. Batman. If only it was, Monkey Man. The origin of Monkey Man's butler. All right. We've got to decide what we're going to do with Umbrella Academy.
So yes.
We did episode by episode series on it in the past because we're in lockdown.
Yeah.
Do we want to do that?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't been watching it. I've been saving it too. On the off chance that we might do something with it.
We either do it, do another, 10-part series about it.
Yeah, is it another 10 eps for the season?
Or we just do it all in one hit. I don't know.
Let us know.
Me?
No, not you. People listening to this.
Okay. Yeah, let us know if you... Yeah, I imagine that'll split people. Some people will be like, I don't care enough to listen to 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And some people would be like, Did people like it?
It seemed like some people liked it.
Yeah, the people who listened to it seemed to like it. And I think other people just would have skipped it. They're like, I don't care about the show. I don't know how they wouldn't care about it. It's a show with a chimpanzee butler. With pretty great, like for TV, great CG. The C's for chimp.
Yeah.
Chimp generated chimp.
Mm-hmm.
In early summer of 2022, Ball delivered a script that got studio executives very excited about the continuing of the franchise.
So he wrote it as well?
Yeah.
Wow. So he's a fan.
He's a real auteur. You know, I bet it.
Because it doesn't seem like he's done, like, so he did the Maze Runner.
Yeah, I think one of the things he does in his films, like, you know how every auteur has a calling card? He has a maze in every film he makes. Okay. So keep your eyes peeled. At some point, Maurice's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson is going to have to get through a maze.
That's kind of all he's done, except he has done he's credited as being a visual effects artist in a film called Beginners, which is interesting. So he has a visual effects background, I guess. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, that bodes well.
Very handy for a film like this that no doubt will be heavy on the effects.
The last little thing it says about it is the film will be scripted by Wes Ball, Josh Friedman, Rick Jaffa. Fuck, that's a great name. Amanda Silva and Patrick Aysen. Friedman previously worked with 20th Century Studios scripting the upcoming sequel Avatar: The Way of Water. And Aysen also worked with 20th Century on 2022's Hulu original Prey. Jaffa and Silva previously wrote earlier series entries Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Okay, well that is also a good sign. Some of the writers from those movies, which were both really good. I think Dawn was my favorite, or maybe War. Everyone says War is the best, but I think I liked all three.
Mm.
But on the first go around, at least I favored Dawn as my favorite. The second one,
was the one with Gary Oldman. Yeah. I think that was good.
Cobra.
Was that the one with a chimp riding a horse? Or was that happened maybe more in the war? Did that happen more in the?
Anyway. Yeah, they ride horses more competently as the timeline moves on.
That makes sense, I guess.
They'll like
humans.
Yeah, imagine what they'll do in 500 years' time. So that's the article. Great work from.
And it says on the Wikipedia. I don't know if you mentioned this already, but it's they're in early negotiations to develop it as a new trilogy.
It's got to be a trilogy. It feels like, yeah.
You can't make just one. No. I mean, unless you're Tim Burton.
Yeah.
But he was always a wild one, right?
Yeah, that's right. He did two Batmans.
Yeah.
Who was Batman's butler in those?
Some old guy.
It was an old guy, wasn't it? Was it an old British guy?
Sounds right, doesn't it?
Batman movies have been keeping old British guys in work for decades. He was probably
Michael
a legend
Caine was
as well.
The best, right?
Michael Caine, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a handy little trilogy, wasn't it?
Bruce Wayne.
Again, the second one was my favorite one of those three. Pretty controversial take, I think.
Is that Heath Ledger one?
Yeah.
Oh, great film.
Fantastic.
Great film. Classic. And not just because he died.
No.
Also just a good film.
Just a good film.
Yep.
Well, there you go. I had another story I was going to tell you about, but we've natted on about this for quite enough. So maybe we can get on to some other things, other business we do.
Yes, what else is on the agenda?
Well, normally we give the media consumed a banana score. It's hard to do that for an article about an upcoming film.
I mean, the article was fine.
Mm. So how many bananas is that in a bunch?
Just
quickly, we don't have to spend too much time on this.
I'm going to give it three out of five bananas.
Three out of five bananas. Yeah, I think I'm going to give it 4 out of 7 bananas.
It was okay.
Bananas.
It was like it had the information there, but it's one of these articles that could probably just be a paragraph and they've just sort of padded out to get through the ads and stuff.
Which is fine. That's
these
businesses make money these days. No worries. Hey, we're not having a go, okay?
Yeah.
There's a little form in the show notes for anyone who has any questions or comments. Also, there's another form as well for any topic suggestions as well. If you can think of any films or anything. Like, I've been thinking lately, there's still some big ones we haven't done. We haven't done Indiana Jones.
I'd love to do Indiana Jones. I haven't really watched those films.
I've tried to watch it twice, and both times I was knackered from like a long day at work or something.
It's one of those ones you want to sit
through it both times.
You want to sit down and enjoy it.
We should watch it on a big screen here.
Yes, we have a big screen just across there.
Well, that was one I was suggesting.
Oh, right, okay.
And yeah, like there was a King Kong that came out a year or so ago, Kong versus. The big lizard, Godzilla?
Yes.
And yeah, there's heaps.
Okay.
So, you know, if anyone has any suggestions for those ones or anything else, put them in that form, because I 100% fully forget if they're not in that list. And I'm starting, when we were doing the show in the past, I did not reference this list enough, but I'm checking it each week now. So, and same with these questions, because I've got a few questions have come through from listeners who submitted to the form, including this one from Editor from Baltimore in Maryland in the USA.
A letter from the editor.
Yeah, well, this this one isn't relevant to you. This one's relevant to me and Soren from an episode. We made asses of ourselves a few weeks ago laughing at what we thought was sort of like English as a like second language, almost slightly getting a grammatical thing wrong, but it was us who were wrong.
Oh, okay.
You never look stupider than laughing at someone who is smarter than you, because they were literally a doctor, like some sort of scientist. I just thought, oh, they've pluralized this when it isn't or whatever, but it was... anyway, editor writes, sorry, but you kept going on about it, so I had to write in. The word data is a plural noun. Datum is the singular. Therefore, data requires a plural verb, i.e. data are, not data is. So this article kept saying...
Right.
Data are saying or whatever it was.
And it I'm doesn't like, sound that sounds right, clumsy.
Yeah. So I think common usage now, data is also acceptable, surely. But... it is also technically true and not at all worth laughing at when people say data, because it's probably, if someone's saying data are, it's a scientist or some sort of researcher or something.
Yeah, and they probably should know.
But anyway, I appreciate that, editor. Oh, that has been pointed out to me a bunch of times. And I even changed it in the show notes the day after I released it, saying, hey, so Soren and I, we were laughing a bit, and it turns out, We were the jokes, not the jokers. But anyway, thanks for that, editor. This one comes from Cumdoy from Auckland in New Zealand. And it's a question. So let's see how you go with this one, Evan. If you had to choose two options here, would you have donkey rhyme with monkey or monkey rhyme with donkey? So I guess it's saying, would you prefer to... Donkey or monkey, yeah.
If I had to choose.
You had to choose, and you do have to choose. Which one would you choose? Donkey or monkey? I think I'm going with donkey.
I was leaning towards monkey.
Okay. That's the beautiful thing about our relationship.
It's weird that they don't rhyme.
It is a little weird.
Because they're spelled like D-O-N-K. Yeah, they're spelled the same but with a different first letter. So...
Something about, I mean, the English language is ridiculous.
Monkey doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it should be monkey, pronounced. Shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Monkey, donkey, donkey,
donkey,
donkey, donkey, monkey,
wonky,
wonky, yeah. Wonky.
Chonky,
chonky, conky. All right, no, I'm with you. You've swung me around.
I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah, it does make the most sense. I was just like, I don't want to change monkey.
No, it would be a shame to...
And donkey does... I think donkey is a funner... Like, you picture a donkey in your head and think, hey, look at that donkey over there.
Yeah, no, that also works.
Yeah.
I think either way. I think whichever way you want to...
Yeah, Cumdoy, it's up to you. We're gonna throw it back to you, Cumdoy.
Yep.
Normally, I would say, if you're going to ask a question, please give us your answer, because...
Oh, you've said this before.
I
can't believe people are just... But they're not doing it.
Well, you know, some people, they could be a new listener.
Oh, yeah.
Who's never, just hasn't listened to any other.
Never heard the show.
I don't know. I probably don't say it every episode. The last one here comes from Victoria, from very broadly the United States.
Ah.
Victoria writes, bring back the segment where you make the guests say the percentage they are like the on-screen ape.
Right.
Because Andy Matthews, who is some sort of scientist, said we share 99% of our DNA with chimps.
Yes.
Well, that's true. So I guess who's the... Is it, what was his name? Who's going to be playing the chimp? The key chimp?
Owen Teague.
The Teague train.
Teague.
Yeah. How much do you feel like you share in common? We don't have a lot to go off in this one.
Born in 1998. Oh, my God.
He's but a boy.
Jesus. 23. He's from Tampa, Florida. I just happen to have this open, which is handy. And he's known for his roles in The Stand, Mrs. Fletcher. I'm not known for any of that.
Yeah, I'm feeling very little in common with Teague.
Yeah. I mean, he's from the United States, like Victoria.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, we're from Victoria.
So it sounds like Victoria might have a bit more in common with him so than far. Us and us than him.
Mm. I'm trying to find something. He went to a school of arts. I sort of went to a, okay. a Bachelor of Arts.
How much of your personality is made up by the fact that you went to a school of arts?
He was a member of the Movie Makers Club at McFarlane Park International Baccalaureate Elementary.
And if you were there, you definitely would have been as well.
I would have been.
So I think I think we're starting to stack up a few points here.
He was interested in acting beginning at a young age, performing scenes from Beauty and the Beast with stuffed animals at the age of 4 and appearing in small theatre productions soon thereafter. You ever acted with stuffed animals?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In our high school stage musical version of Toy Story.
I'm going to go 60%.
Wow, that jumped up late.
In that I'm a human male.
Okay, that's true.
I'm also interested in making movies, I suppose. So there's a bit there, but you know, not that much.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we'd probably get on.
I think so. I think 60's pretty high for me. I'm going to say for me, 33%. I seem about a third of myself there. But anyway, thanks so much, Victoria, for it's not the best episode for us to have brought that one back on it, I think, but appreciate it all the same. And I will try and there's a few things that I feel like I've just outside of my memory on this show, bringing it back. I'm like, it's just a little itch I can't scratch, and that has helped scratch a little itch there, Victoria, reminding me of that bit.
Mm.
I think I prefer that bit to the banana thing. Giving the banana scores is a nightmare every time. The guests are confused by it. I'm like, I don't know. But for some reason I stuck with that and I forgot about the equally ridiculous, but it gives you a little bit more room to move with the DNA of chimps thing.
Mm.
Anyway, please review us on your iTunes or Spotify or whatever you're on. If you give us a 5-star review, I'll read out that review. And we've got a couple from the last week that I will read out right now. This one comes from The Dark Hippie in Great Britain, writing, Big Ape Bath, 5 stars. How many apes does it take to plumb a boiler? I don't know. I'm not an amateur ape sleuth, but these guys are. The podcast equivalent of a warm bath on a cold winter day. But there's an ape in that bath too. Sexy. Oh, what a beautiful review. Thank you so much. To plumb a boiler. Over there, they're like a hot water system.
Okay.
I don't know what they might have, a Bosch or, you know, a Ream. Install a Ream for the hottest hot water you've ever seen. Ream comes on steady, hot and strong. Just keeps on and on. Install a Ream. Install a Ream. The other one comes from James Bond Shay of the United States of America, writing, a classy podcast for sophisticated listener, 5 stars.
One sophisticated listener?
No, I think it's just, you know, just for efficiency. A classy podcast for sophisticated listener.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, this is just the headline.
Oh, okay. Great. There's more.
Yeah. He's about to put some meat on those bones. I was greatly distressed when I noticed my beloved podcast, Primates, was no longer appearing in my mobile listening device, much to my chagrin. I could not possibly imagine that a podcast about primates in pop culture and different media could ever run out of topics. And we haven't. No. That's the thing. We haven't hardly covered anything.
We ran out of time. If anything, we were overwhelmed by the amount of topics.
Yeah. Honestly, I was worried about the host's well-being.
Fair enough.
I just could not understand why they would abruptly stop producing content for what I assume is one of the most listened to podcasts on the World Wide Web. Last week, surprisingly, a new episode was released, and I can see why it took so long. Genius does not happen overnight. I tip my hat to you, sirs. P.S. Do a Hit Monkey episode. That show is awesome. Bloody hell, James Bond, Shay. We've both been watching it.
Yeah, we should.
So we maybe even next week, Ev.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
Oh, great. Well, hopefully that makes you happy, James Bond, Shay. What a lovely review. Yeah, appreciate that. So if you want to give us a review wherever, that one was via Apple. I think it looks like a lot of them are via Apple Podcasts. But I think I found a website that collates them all.
All right.
Into one spot.
I was trying to see if you could had a review on... I don't know if you can review podcasts on Spotify.
Maybe you can.
Or can you? I was just trying to find where that...
Actually, as I'm looking down this list, they are all via Apple.
Mm.
So maybe there are other reviews going elsewhere. Or maybe there's no other place, no other way that you can review things. And I only read out the five-star ones, unfortunately, because the one and two-star
so
ones...
Because there's so many one-stars, well, there's you just can't keep up.
There's a few of them. And they are in some ways more interesting to read because they hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are they listening to it?
I don't know. There's something so funny to me about people who will listen to a free thing that is entirely optional. There's no reason you have to listen to this stupid niche podcast.
Yeah.
But to listen to it and then be like, wow, this has made me so furious. I'm going to spend a bit of time writing some angry prose in the review section. So strange.
Too much time on their hands.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of the episode. Evan, it's so great to have you back.
It's great to be back.
I can only assume that you have made many hearts swell with happiness, joy, love, and most importantly, ape-ness.
I hope so.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Is Gamey Game or Jiminy James or whatever I used to call it? The Jiminy James show about James?
Yeah. Yeah, we did an episode a little while ago. It's been disrupted by the move to the new studio. But we do have a new season coming up reasonably soon. I think later this month we'll have new episodes of that coming out. So that's exciting. It's on YouTube.
And all the old episodes are still up. And it's not the kind of thing that there's a lot of it is news in gaming world, but it's not at all topical that
absolutely go back and watch old episodes. There's 119 of them, I think, on YouTube. Go to youtube.com and type in Gamey Gamey Game. It's what it's called. And it's got so many great people. If you're across this little podcast network, you'll find the likes of Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins and Dave Warnocky, along with favorites like Ben Russell and Naomi Higgins, and even James and Meso from Weekly Planet have guested on there.
Mark Bonanno.
Cass Page. Lots of great people.
Yeah, a lot of previous guests from this show.
Yeah.
Also,
I'd say crossover.
There wouldn't be a lot of guests that you've had on your show that haven't been on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that cardboard cowboy.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. Yeah, he was great on it.
Yeah. Can you get him on this? I don't know if it works as well on an audio-only podcast, but...
Yeah, maybe it would have.
For people who don't know, it's a fascinating concept he does. What does he do? He like live animates himself.
Yeah, he's
a cardboard cowboy.
Yeah, he's a Twitch streamer, but his character is literally a cardboard cowboy, a cowboy man out of cardboard, who is kind of like animated in real time. And he does some really he's one of the most innovative Twitch streamers, I think. He just does some really, really cool stuff.
What episode of Gamey Game was he on? Because that's wild that he could be on a live panel show.
Yeah.
And doing all character. That as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
You look it up and I'll tell people where they can find Primates online at Primates Pod. And that's Primates, obviously spelt like the podcast is, annoyingly with an E in the middle, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And, check out those forms via the links in the show notes and send us your suggestions for topics or whatever or a question on anything. Now, Evan hopefully has a bit more time to come back. Feel free to ask Evan any specific questions.
Ask me anything.
Ask Monroe anything. Also, if you've got any suggestions for superior primates than humans / Andy from Toy Story, throw them in there as well, and I'll put them to him because I reckon we can make him crack one day.
Love this bit. The episode is called Adversity Breeds Compassion. I can't remember why it's called that. It's the Metroid Dread episode of Gamey Game Has Cowboy. And it's a bit of fun. They're all a bit of fun. They're all pretty silly.
I was on an episode about Kirby, I remember, who's like a blob character on video games.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you're not into games, it's just a silly panel chat show.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Oh, I don't know. This is actually, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, Evan, we've got a podcast streaming festival.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yep, that's this weekend.
Yeah, so that's on this Sunday Australian time, Melbourne time.
Saturday Australian time.
Saturday, is it?
It's the 9th. Is that Saturday?
Well, let me clear my schedule.
No, actually, maybe it is Sunday. I should know this. So, no, you're right. It is Sunday.
So there's shows like Do Go On, my new podcast, Who Knew It with Matt Stewart.
Yes.
Josh Earle's podcast, which is a great comedy quiz show. Who else have we got on there? Sammy P's show, Confessions of the Idiots.
Yeah, Two in the Think Tank.
With some sort of scientist, Andy Matthews.
Yep. There's Plumbing the Death Star for the Sandspans guys. Pop Gaze. And did you say Do Go On already?
Kentucky Fried Chat.
And Kentucky Fried Chat
is coming back, is it?
Yeah, which is a
long dormant podcast.
Yeah, had a real cult following. That's where Beck Petratus and Xavier Michaelides and Peter Jones,
all previous guests of Primates.
All right, yeah, and it's a really funny podcast where the mission is to try every item on the KFC menu, and I think they achieved that.
It was quite a journey
of
discovery.
So I don't know what they're going to do now.
Well, they had moved on to other things, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think Pete's going to be patching in from the UK somewhere.
Yes, he's in London, I think. So I don't know what they're going to, and I'm keen to see what they decide to eat this time.
Yeah, and if he's going to be able to get it over there.
Yeah, they're going to find something that they can. It'd be great if they could find something, the same item, and compare it internationally.
That would be a beautiful moment.
So, yeah, it's at sospresents.com. You can go there and buy a ticket. It's streaming live all around the world simultaneously, starting at 11 a.m. Melbourne time.
Yeah, so
on Sunday.
You know, you get the whole day aside and
yeah, it's like 10 hours back-to-back podcast. It's going to be all live in our studio. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bit of behind the you're going to be in there for a bit of behind the scenes.
I'll be hosting parts of the behind the scenes. So we'll have interstitial hosting.
In between.
Yeah.
And I'll be there too on Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, I think.
Can't wait. You're going to be score checker.
Yeah.
Unless you want to play. We haven't really figured that out.
No, I can be scorekeeper. I can try to keep track of the numbers.
You can be I just want a second banana.
Well, I can be that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, and if it's the middle of the night where you are, you can watch it the next day or whenever you like.
Yeah, or if 10 hours is too long.
Yeah, you can break it up into little bits. Anyway, Evan, thanks so much for joining us.
No worries.
It really fills my heart with joy and apeness to have you back. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
chimp you later.
Oh, he's still in Mesos.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.